So it's, we all know, it's Christmas Day, and we are celebrating the coming of the Lord Jesus as a baby. And it's not every year that it happens on a Sunday, but it's very fitting, isn't it, as we celebrate our Lord. Last evening in our Christmas Eve service, we took that journey from the prophets to the manger, to the cross, to the empty tomb, to him saying, "Surely I come quickly." And that was a helpful journey for us to put into perspective Christmas and the coming of the Lord and how significant that truly is. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 2. As a preacher and one that has had the privilege of doing this, preaching a Christmas message or messages now for at least 13 years, the question comes, you know, what are we going to cover this year? Christmas keeps on coming, and the accounts aren't changing. It's solid, it's right there, and we've covered it from many different directions. And so often, the familiar can become a tradition, and we do not want to lose the awe and the wonder of what Luke and Matthew tell us took place over 2,000 years ago, or about 2,000 years ago. I asked the Lord, "Lord, what is it that you desire to share with us today? How do you want us to celebrate you today?" And it is exciting for me as I was directed to this passage in Hebrews chapter 2. This passage in Hebrews is one that I normally would not think of as a Christmas passage. A passage of celebration of Jesus coming as a baby. But yet, what we find here is indeed the backdrop of why this is so important. And it is important for us to understand that backdrop and to understand the details of it as we celebrate. Otherwise, our celebrations will be hijacked by the world's ways and perspectives. And this ought not to be for the Church of Jesus Christ. That is who we are. The book of Hebrews is about Jesus. It is about exalting Jesus and saying he's better than all of these various different people and things that the Hebrews looked to and acknowledged as great. Jesus is better than the angels. Jesus is better than Moses. And here in chapter 2, we find the writer of Hebrews helping us to see the Christmas story from a very different perspective. Chapter 2 of Hebrews, looking at verse 9, we read, "But we see Jesus." Wow. Do you realize that would not be the case, that would not be true? But God came in the form of a baby, in the form of a man, that we might see Jesus. Now, I haven't seen Jesus personally myself, but you know what? I know that there were people just like me who did see Jesus. They got to walk and to talk with him and to eat with him, to see him do the incredible miracles. They got to hear him speak. They heard his voice. They heard him sing. They got to see him as a baby. Just think of the honor of those shepherds who came and found the baby just like the angels had said. There he was. But we see Jesus. Jesus came into our realm. It says we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He was crowned with the glory and honor that by the grace of God, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. What an incredible summary of his coming, of his life. This provides meaning to the manger. For it became him, verse 10, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. Aren't you glad that that's God's desire? To make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And that captain, that word later in this book is translated as author in Hebrews chapter 12, the author of our faith. But here, translated as captain, but you could still say author, the author of our salvation, he came and he suffered, thus completing God's plan. You see, there was divine justice. God decreed that when you disobey him, you shall die. This, of course, is found in Genesis chapter 2. And lest we forget it, I think it's important for us to hear it once more. In Genesis chapter 2, in verse 16, we read, "The Lord God commanded the man and put him into the Garden of Eden The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, you shall surely die." This, of course, spoken to Adam prior to him sinning. This was the command that God had given. And God clearly told him that if you disobey, if you do exact opposite of what I say, if you disregard my word, then you shall surely die. Now, these words coming from the Lord, they were just not a platitude. They were just not something to make him sound powerful. No, these were declarations of his justice. These were declared from a holy God who understood the destructive nature of evil and of sin. And so we know that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel says this in chapter 18. And so what we find is that Jesus came into our realm, made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. You know that angels do not suffer death. If you continue to read throughout, look at verse 16 of the passage. "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." You know, how does this fit with Christmas? Well, it has everything to do with Christmas. You see, Christmas has everything to do with the gospel. Christmas is so key and central because there would be no cross if there was no baby. Because you cannot put a spirit or a ghost on a cross and some figment of an imagination does not bleed blood. Yes. He took upon himself the seed of Abraham, and he came into our realm like us. Looking at verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 2, we read, "For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one." Notice the pronouns he, they're singular. He that sanctifies, there is one who sanctifies. But there are many, they, plural, who are sanctified. This is where you and I fit in. You and I are ones who are being sanctified by the one who sanctifies. As we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate the birth of one. There's a singularity, there is a uniqueness, there is a holiness about one. One Jesus. There is only one who sanctifies. It is God. And his plan is singular. It is unique from all others. He sent his only son. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. There is this reality in the scriptures that God has a family. There's a family of God. There is one God, but he has called many to be his children. He has given the right and the privilege for many to be called the children of God. John 1:12. This is to those who have received Jesus. So that we are brethren with him. This all taking place because he became one of us, yet without sin. We talked briefly last evening about the uniqueness of Jesus. Yes, he came into our realm and he took upon himself the form of a man. But you know what was unique about him was his lineage. Listen, he had surely a mother. There's no doubt about that. But the question was, who is his father? You see, the text, the Bible is very clear that Joseph was not his father. The angel said, "You shall conceive of the Holy Spirit." And so therefore, Jesus Christ, the baby that was born and laid in a manger, the baby that the wise men came and gave gifts to, was fully man and yet fully God. And that is all necessary and important to satisfy the divine justice of God. Verse 14 says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." You understand that, right? He took upon himself flesh and blood, just like us. "That through death..." Now, wait a minute. Why are we talking about death? Why are we talking about death on a day where we're celebrating birth? This is what sets this apart. We all enjoy the birth of a new little baby. How exciting is it when a new mom brings her little one to church for that first time? Where's the crowd of women? All around the baby. They're so excited about this little baby. We love birth. We love life. But Christmas is truly about this very present problem: death. The death that is decreed by God as a payment for sin. If there had been no punishment for sin, if it was not death, then God's plan of redemption would have no meaning. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. You see, Jesus Christ, according to this passage, he was born that he might die. He was born to destroy the devil. To destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So today, as we celebrate Jesus Christ, we are celebrating the one who came into this world. Yes, he came to die, but he came that he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. Look at verse 15. It says, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Why is it so important that we understand he came to destroy the one who has the power of death, the devil? Because there is a world full of people under the bondage of the devil, under the bondage of death. It's so interesting when people find themselves in desperate situations, more times than not, and they admit this to you, they will look up, they will cry out for help to someone, and dare I say, the name of God might come through their lips. When the fear of death is at the door and it is knocking and you're experiencing this, it grips our hearts because we know this one truth. We can't do anything about it. We do not have the power of death in and of ourselves. It has power over us. We are in bondage. This metaphor is repeated throughout the scriptures. Of course, you have the book of Exodus, and we're studying that, and we're going to continue to look at that, where the people are in bondage in Egypt, and God, what, delivers them. We have the people of Israel who are, because of their rebellion against God, taken into exile both by the Assyrians and by Babylon, and God delivers them. We have, as we enter into the New Testament, that time period where Rome is the power of the world. And in those 400 years between Malachi and Matthew, many battles were fought, much blood was shed, and the Jewish people fought for their freedoms, yet they were in bondage to the powers of Rome. But even over and above all of that, and throughout all those time periods, there was a spiritual bondage that was present ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, and that is that bondage and grip of sin. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so the divine decree by God, his justice, hung over all mankind. But God, in his great mercy and through his great love, had a plan of redemption. And he left a trail of his mercy and grace that his people might follow it down from century to century to century, all pointing to the baby Jesus who would go to the cross, who would rise again, and one day is coming soon as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and all will bow before him. You see, God had a plan of redemption, and see, that speaks of freedom from bondage. So Jesus, he came to destroy the devil, to render the devil useless, without power. And we know the scriptures tell us that the future of the devil is set. It's secure. He will be in the lake of fire forever and ever. Jesus came not only to destroy, but to deliver. And he came to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Praise God for his deliverance. Praise God that we as the Church of Jesus Christ can live different lives. We can live lives that are full of hope. We can live lives that speak of freedom. Yes, we still die, but our death is not something to be feared, but rather it is a passage into eternity and into the presence of the Lord. That's a big difference. And it's all because of Jesus coming. Not only did he come to destroy the devil and to deliver those who are in bondage, but we also see that he came to reconcile. To reconcile man with God. You see, God didn't do anything wrong. There's no issues with God, right? The issue's with us. Look at verse 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. This is Christmas right there. That's Christmas. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things, look at this, in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. You see that there? In things pertaining to God. You know, that speaks of this is God's decree of justice. This was God's plan. And so according to God, Jesus came into our realm to be the merciful and faithful high priest to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. To reconcile could be said to satisfy the divine justice of God. We know that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That decree was made. Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 3. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is what? Is death. So it is clearly understood that because of our sin, we deserve death. But yet the message of the Bible is a message of love. In the face of the divine justice of God, and we cannot take that away from him. God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Yes. He came to reconcile. He came to satisfy God's decree of justice. Because you and I have that hanging over us because we are sinners. And so the message of the gospel is that we can be reconciled with God through Jesus. You see, he came into our realm to be the faithful and merciful high priest. You know that role of the high priest? The role of the high priest was to take the blood and sprinkle it on the altar before God. And it was that blood of the lamb for so many years. It was the blood of the lamb that was slain that provided the atonement for year after year of the people. But yet when Jesus came, he was that high priest. But you know what? The lamb, the blood, I should say, that was spilled was not that of an animal. It was his own. Jesus came to destroy the devil. Jesus came to deliver those under the fear of death and bondage. Jesus came to reconcile for the sins of the people. And finally, we see Jesus came to help. That's so simple. It's not deep. But boy, do we need help. We love when people help us. Look at verse 18. We read, "For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor us, to help them that are tempted." To come to the aid of. I love this personal aspect that's included here in the text. Because it reminds me that Jesus did while he walked this earth, and he also suffered, he was tempted. He experienced difficulties and trials in life, and we know that the devil tempted him. He did not sin, but we know he understands what life is like here in this sin-cursed world. We serve a God, we're in a relationship with a God who understands. And church, remember that. God understands what you're going through. The trials and difficulties and temptations even to sin. He understands life here on this earth. And so Jesus, he was born that he might be our helper. That he might help us because he understands our lives. Isaiah the prophet put it this way in very powerful words. Isaiah chapter 53, listen to this. Isaiah 53 verse 3 says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Verse 4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Oh, church, as we celebrate Christmas, remember Jesus came into our realm. And he came that he might destroy the power of the devil, the power of death. He came to deliver those who are in bondage. He came to reconcile, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. That would be you and me. And he came to help. He came to be our helper, to come to our aid. This is truly worth celebrating. We have a personal Savior who understands our lives. We have a Savior whom death could not hold. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? He came to deliver. Didn't the angel tell Joseph, "I'm
sending him. He's the one, the Savior of the world. To reconcile, we can be right with God. We can have a right relationship with him. But it's through only one, Jesus Christ.